Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Noel, Jesus is born, right? Noel, Jesus is born. Well, again, let me add my welcome to all of you to Shanghai Community Fellowship, and those who stood a few moments ago, this was your first Sunday with us, welcome to you as well, and we hope that you return, continue to make SCF your community of, and your community of faith while you are here in this city. As we heard or listened to, many of you would have recognized the song that Joyfi was playing. And it's the Song of Noel, and this is the beginning of the Christmas season. The first Sunday of Advent is today. And some of us come from traditions where we describe the Christmas season as the season of Advent. And some of us, that would be a new word for us, right? We know Christmas, probably, mostly, but maybe the word Advent is a new word for us. But the word Advent actually means coming. And so at Christmas, in the Advent season, we remember and we celebrate the coming of Jesus. And that makes sense, right? And that goes well with the Christmas story, because the Christmas story is about the birth of Jesus, about Jesus coming. But in all Advent, we are also celebrating and remembering that Jesus is going to come again. So we're talking about in Advent the coming of Jesus, but not just his coming in the past, but also his coming in the future. That's why we call it Advent and use that particular word, because it is a celebration of his coming. Advent is often, in fact, for many, many centuries, Advent has been characterized by these four words. And as you hear them, it will make sense, I think, to you why these four words would be used. And those are the words hope, peace, love, and joy. Literally for hundreds of years, Christians have taken these four words to express what they feel and what they think about the coming of Jesus. Not only the fact that he's come, but again, the fact that he is coming again. Now, in this series that I'm starting today, and it'll take us through the Sundays of Advent, this is the 1st, 8th, 15th, 22nd, we are going to particularly focus on this one word and the word joy. So in these Sundays of Advent, we're going to look at joy in all of its forms and all of its expressions, like joy in the form of rejoicing, for example. And we'll be taking a closer look at joy in this series. Now, you know, you go to the Bible, of course, and that's where we want to go. And you see on the very first page of the Bible that you see joy right there, day one, actually, day one. And what we read and what I mean by that is that when you see God at work on the very first day, after he has completed all that he has done and all that he has made, he says that it's very good. In other words, it was a joyful moment for God himself as he saw the whole created order, all things that he has made, and said, this is very good, and there's a moment of joy that God would note. And you can see this again in the psalmists as they would remember the joy that God had in the whole earth, because what that did is that God enabled and released all of us who live on the earth to experience the same joy of his goodness in all that he has made. And we do that. We've experienced that. I'm a pet owner. And over the years, Becky and I have owned a couple of dogs, and right now we own a cat. And you know, in my own small way, I get to have dominion over my cat. And in all seriousness, I do get to enjoy, in this small expression, the goodness of God's creation, and that little black and white furry creature that crawls across my dining room floor. And so we know what it's like, and the psalmist captures this. He said, Psalm 69, the whole earth is filled with awe at your wonders. Where morning dawns and where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. So whether it's the end of the day or the beginning of day, God calls forth joy so that we can just experience for one more set of 24 hours the joy of being alive. And that God has given us another day, a day full of life, a day full of his presence, and a day that we can breathe and know him. In another place in Psalm 65, the psalmist would write, "You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow, and the hills are clothed with gladness." I like it in another place where it describes the hills and the trees as clapping with joy. And I love that God has given us all created things so that we might enter into his joy. And wanting to make his goodness even more clear and fuller, and in all of its fullness, he would offer and give to us the greatest expression of his joy for us and his love for us in the gift of his Son. In the gift of his Son. For he would write, John would write, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And when this Son, his birth was announced to us, to them and to us today, when his birth is announced, you see the strength of joy in the announcement of his birth. You're probably familiar with this part of the Bible. Luke chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" Love is the gift of life that has been sent to us. Hope in Jesus, the Son of God, who has come. Peace, God's favor, on whom his favor, God's favor resting on us. And joy, the Savior has been born to us. A thing that I don't think we can miss is that very early on, those first followers of Jesus understood that this expression of God's love that becomes joy, this expression of God's love through the gift of his Son that brings joy to the world, is something that all of us who are following Jesus are going to continue to participate in. It's not just an historical event to look back upon and say, God has done this great thing, and he has done a great thing, and he has brought from his love this great joy. But those early followers of Jesus knew that this would be a joy that would come again and again and again through the love of his people again and again and again in us. Paul would note this. Paul would note this, and he would be, Paul was a person who was shaped and changed by this love, by the hope and the peace and the joy of Christ. And he understood and knew that he now, with the love of God in him and flowing through him, would also be one who would be a part of the exchange, the coming of joy to the world through the love of God in him, in Paul. He got it. And he just entered in and began to participate in that, as we will and do the same. What happens in that people group, he would go from city to city, and he would tell them about the Jesus of Luke chapter 2. He would tell them about God's love and how God's love sent forth the Son and how that love brought joy. And, you know, he would usually go from place to place and city to city, and he would usually start in one particular place. He'd start with a people who had already heard that story before, who were already familiar with that story about a God of love who is going to come and send out of that love a joy that we've not seen before. He would tell that, and those sometimes what people would say, "Yeah, we know what you're talking about, we recognize," but sometimes they say, "I don't think so, not for me." But what happened is that he would come from city to city and tell the story of God who brought forth out of his love a joy in his Son, Jesus. Well, people started saying, "Hey, I want to hear more about that. I know I wasn't at that thing, and I wasn't at that place where you were first talking about this. But I've heard you talk about this, and I want to know more. I've never heard of this before. I've never heard about a God who loves the world and sends his son so that we can know his joy. Tell me more. Tell me more. And people started responding to this. And the love of God and the joy that comes from that love was turning and is turning the world upside down as it touches our lives. Even has touched your life. Even as the love of God expressed through his son Jesus has brought you great joy. We are also aware that this is a story and this is an experience of love becoming joy that is going to be told in and through me and you. With the love of God in me and the love of God in you and the love of God in us, we are going to see the joy of God come as well. Just as it happened from God the Father, so it happens for you and I, the love of God expressed through us to bring the joy of God to the world that we live in our time, in our generation. Paul got this, and let me give you an example of how he does it and where he does it. He goes to a city called Thessalonica in what is now modern-day Greece to do this very thing, to tell them about the story of the love of God expressed through the Son, Jesus, that becomes joy to the world. He goes to one particular city to tell them about this. And here's what he has to say. First Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse 6. You became imitators of us, Paul would say, and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. In another place in the same letter, he would write, for what is our hope, our joy, or crown, in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Or chapter 3, verse 9, how can we thank God enough for you and return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? So today, what I want to do with you together is to unpack how joy, or rather how love becomes joy. How the love of God in me, how the love of God in you, in us, becomes joy. We saw the love of God in the Father. We saw the love of the Father expressed through the Son in the giving of the Son, which becomes joy, joy to the world. We're seeing the same happening in us. But how does the love of God in me become joy? Now, you might be thinking, Pastor Dale, isn't that obvious or isn't that automatic? I mean, if we just love people, and then joy is going to automatically follow? Isn't it just that simple and that easy? Well, if you've ever tried to love someone, you know that joy doesn't always follow quite so easily. We can be misunderstood. Our intentions can be misunderstood. We want to be loved. We think we're being loving. We think we're showing love, but joy doesn't seem to be the response we're getting. In fact, anything but joy. And what went wrong? And though it might at face value seem like an obvious question, how does love become joy? It may not be as obvious or as simple as we might assume. It doesn't always work out that way. So I think we need to be a little more intentional and a little more thoughtful about how love becomes joy. And what Paul is going to do in this letter is he's going to unpack how it happened for him and how it happened among those Thessalonian Christians. The first thing I want to point out from 1 Thessalonians 1, 1-5 is that it's thankfulness that leads to joy. There's a link between gratitude and thankfulness that leads to joy. But I want to be careful here, because I really want to point out what Paul, I think, is saying. It's not a thankfulness just in general. I'm thankful I'm wearing a new pair of shoes. I'm thankful my mom made breakfast for me this morning. I'm thankful that today is sunny and not rainy. Now, I mean, we can be thankful for all those things. No problem there. Got it. But that's not the kind of thankfulness he's talking about. A thankfulness that is leading to joy, as he notes in chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, is that he is specifically thanking them for their ongoing relationship with Jesus. He is thanking them for their ongoing relationship with Jesus. When is the last time you thanked God the Father for someone else's faithfulness? When was the last time you said, God, thank you for the ongoing faithfulness of my friend? Thank you that my friend or my mom or my brother is still serving Jesus. Thank you that even in all the difficult things that they faced and all the setbacks and the disappointments, that my family is still together and we're all still following you. And this is the kind of thankfulness he's talking about. The kind of thankfulness that leads to joy is giving thanks for the faithfulness of those who continue to follow Jesus through the ups and the downs, the highs and the lows, the good and the bad, the setbacks and the moving forward. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you because you're still following Jesus. I'm thankful for you because you're still following Jesus. And that's what he's thankful for. Now, Paul is not kidding. He's not blind. He gets it. These guys were not perfect. These guys stumbled. Sometimes they just stumbled badly. We don't get it. They don't get it always right. We don't always get it right. But Paul could be thankful for the friend as Jesus would see them. And so I'm thankful for you, not as you are, but as you will be. And as you know, that's not always easy, to look to the person who is close to you, the person you really already know a lot of their faults. You know, you get it. You already know they're not perfect. And you could probably make the list. It wouldn't be difficult. 1, 2, 3, there you go. And yet, be thankful for what God has done. But even more so, I can be thankful for what God is going to do in you and what you will become. And it's this kind of thankfulness because of the love of God that is in us that makes joy possible for us. Here's another characteristic of love that becomes joy. It's a love that remembers. It's a love with a good memory. It's a love that remembers that leads to joy. But what do we remember here? Do we remember that Christmas when we had a fantastic trip to the Maldives and we skied and we had fun and water skiing, I guess. I don't think it snows in the Maldives. Sorry, water skiing. What are we remembering? Well, again, there's some specificity here to this kind of remembering. He is remembering, and he could say this to them, I remember the powerful, Spirit-inspired talk that you heard and you responded to it and you said yes to Christ and you began to follow him. I remember you telling me about how you went to Alpha and you sat there week after week after week and you said to me at the end, you know what? I'm in. I believe this. I'm going to start following Jesus. I'm there. I remember how you told me that you saw, you read, you heard good news expressed through the story of Jesus Christ, and you believe. That's what I'm remembering. And that's the kind of remembering that leads to joy. I remember the sometimes joyful and tearful response that you had when you knew that the Spirit of God was at work in you and on you. How many times have you sat in a service like this one or somewhere else or watched a YouTube video or listened to a Spirit-inspired song and the tears began to flow? And you said to yourself, what is going on? And your heart was strangely warmed. And you knew. You might not have had the language for it, but you said, I think God is present. And that's what we remember. And that's the remembering that leads to joy. You remember that all of this was arranged by the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that put all this together. It's the Holy Spirit that has put your life together. It's the Holy Spirit that led you to Christ. And that's what you're remembering. That's what I'm remembering that leads us to joy. It's the power and presence of God in this amazing, loving, caring way that led me and led you to Him. And that's a remembering that leads us to joy. This is a joy that cannot be stolen. This is a joy that is not outside of us, but is inside of us. And I think one of the most amazing things that God has done when love becomes joy is that He puts joy that was once outside of me, which I was chasing and was circumstantial, and He put it inside of me. So now there's joy in me. I'm not chasing it anymore. It's no longer circumstantial. I'm no longer waiting on my circumstances to change. I'm waiting on Jesus. And there's a big difference. And there's a big, big difference between waiting for circumstances to change and waiting on the Lord, waiting on Jesus. It's a joy which is for us a foretaste of even greater things to come. We're just getting started. God is just getting started. And the joy that we know when we know it and as we know it because of the love of God, a love of God that is often expressed through someone else, a person that I actually know, it's just a foretaste of what God is yet to bring in terms of joy. If you've had a taste of joy, you want more. If you've had a little joy and you've done a little joy dance and you got a big smile in the middle of a public place and people looked at you and said, why is that person just smiling? That's kind of silly. Because of the joy of God that is in you, there's more to come. There's more of that joy yet to come. Remembering that joy brings encouragement. Let the joy of Christ encourage your heart. Let the joy of Christ encourage you and encourage your faith to keep on serving Him. It's love from a pure heart that uses one's strengths and advantages to look out for others, which leads to joy. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying that I came to you, I came with the advantage, I was the one with the strengths. I came to you, I was the one with maturity, and I used my strengths, and I used my maturity, and I used my advantages to advance your faith in Him. And that is the source of our mutual joy. So when you and I, as followers of Jesus, in a circumstance where we are the person with maturity, we are the person with the advantage, and we are the person with the strength, and we use those strengths and advantages to advance the faith of someone else, this is the source of our joy. This is when love becomes joy, when we reach out to do such things. You know, Paul would say of his own situation with them, you remember me, right? You guys know that I didn't throw a lot of smoke at you. I wasn't filling your heads with empty flattery. I wasn't deceptive. I had a pure heart when we were together. You know that. And you know that my lifestyle was a life of wanting to please God. And so we offer our advantages and our strengths for the faith of others so that love would become joy. Like a parent, by the way. For those of you who are parents, you get this. You are a parent, and Paul, if you go back and read these first three chapters, he refers to love becoming joy very much with the metaphor of the parent, because as parents, that's what we're doing. We are using our advantages and our strengths to assist and encourage and develop our children. And there's a joy in doing that that every parent understands. Every parent understands. I'm using what I have for the advance of others. And this is a joy not only for now, so we can experience joy today in the next 24 hours. I can experience the joy of God. Love can become joy this week, right now, right? I don't have to wait. It can happen right now. But this is a love that's going to become joy then as well as now. And that's the perspective that Paul has here. He writes, "For what is our hope, what is our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in a future sense in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes? Is it not you?" You know, Paul wants to make sure that these guys finish the race. He's thinking about a moment in the future when he's going to be standing in a place and know and experience the very honor and joy that comes when one of his children has done very, very well and is there with him in that place. I want to see you there. Paul said, when I stand before Christ, when I stand on that day, when I am present for his presence, I'm going to look around and I'm going to see all of you Thessalonians standing there with me. And this will be a tremendous source of joy and honor for me. When I stand on that day, when Jesus comes again, I'm going to be looking for you. I'm going to look around. And it will be my joy and honor to see you and all of us standing there. And I think about all the people I've known here in Shanghai and through Shanghai Community Fellowship, all the people I've known over the last 40 years. What a joy and honor to know that you will be there, present at his presence when he comes again. This is his confidence. And what I loved about this is I could so relate to this is because, again, Paul is expressing something that parents feel. When their children succeed, when their children, you ask a parent, there's no joy that a parent can experience like their own child flourishing and thriving and succeeding, right? They're standing there. It's not a selfish kind of a thing. It's not like, oh yeah, look at me, you know, I'm the parent of that person, you know that. There's a genuine, pure joy when your child is just flourishing and thriving that you shared in. And that's what Paul's talking about here. I am going to share in a great joy when I see you standing with me as God himself brings Jesus and Jesus returns. It's a joy for now. That's why he can write, "For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in? It is the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. Is it not you? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy." It's a glory for both now and then. In a few moments, we are going to be celebrating communion together, and I'll invite the members of our hospitality team to get ready at this time. And you know, in the Bible, it tells us that when we come to the Eucharist, or the table of the Lord, also called the Lord's Supper, that we are to remember. And we are to remember, and we are remembering how this expression of love from Father God through the giving of his Son, sung over by an angel choir about joy coming to the earth, has come. Joy has come. Love was experienced and joy has come. It turns out that this love, the love of the Father, continues to be poured out again and again and again. Poured out through me and poured out through you. So not only can I know the joy of God, but everyone else can know the joy of the Lord as well. As our hospitality team members prepare themselves and come, we now prepare ourselves to take both the bread and the cup so that we can remember the gift of God, the gift of love that became joy. Let's pray. Father, I pray today and I give thanks as we respond once again to this calling to come to your table and to come and remember. And to remember specifically what happened when you saw us in our need, when you saw us, Father, empty and broken, when you saw us lost in our sin and trapped by our sins, you sent your Son that we might live. And not just live, but live with joy. So, Father, we pray, as we take, once again, these elements of the bread and the cup, let us remember Jesus, that he has come and that he is coming again. We pray in his name, amen, amen. As our team now prepares to serve us, I'm going to ask that you hold the cup and hold the wafer when you receive it. And this way we'll all eat at the same time, and then we'll all drink at the same time. If this is your first communion experience with us here at SCF, we practice an open communion. You don't have to be a member of our church to take communion today, but we ask that you be a member of the body of Christ, that you be a follower of Jesus, and so that we might all express our unity in him. Let's receive the cup and the bread.